Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, what's up, creepies? Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 133. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. What's going on, gentlemen?
All good things tonight.
Absolutely.
All signs point to yes.
Oh.
Oh.
Like a magic eight ball.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
I had two of those, by the way. Oh, and one of my kids got one for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, did they really?
I'm like, they had one when they were like seven. I asked Amy and she goes, well, don't worry about it. I go, I'm just saying I don't think they're really into it anymore.
They're having troubles making decisions.
Yeah. That's right. Well, that's how I make all my decisions.
I didn't want to say that, but I figured
moment
Sean.
By moment.
Yeah. It reminds me. I think. I may have brought them up in conversation with you guys before, but not on the actual podcast. Millwright, that works for the company I work for, mm-hmm. on a different job, but I've heard stories about him. he carries a satchel on his hip, and has the herb thyme in it.
Okay.
So that he can go around and say, hey, I have thyme on my side.
Yeah.
And he has a big, like a cowboy belt buckle with the Batman insignia on it.
Of course.
it's making
sense. As you
and he also carries a magic eight ball with him, and he'll be in like meetings, and they'll ask him a question.
Nate.
I'm dead serious.
Oh, wow.
He shakes the eight ball, and he's like, get back to you later. Seriously.
He's an odd duck, huh?
Yeah.
Nate.
I have one question.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. Scout's honor.
You haven't seen it, though. You've just...
I have not. I've just heard stories.
Oh, I was going to say...
Are these guys credible?
Yes.
Because why would they make up a story like that? But then again...
Yeah, it's so far-fetched, it has to be real.
And you... Okay.
I was going to ask if he's a listener, but apparently we don't know, right?
No.
Don't tell him we have a show.
That's right.
Hey, I know. We're not going to turn away anybody, but...
No.
That kind of disturbs me a little bit that he's... You know what I mean?
Hey, to each their own. I'm not saying nothing bad. He's definitely
time
an odd individual.
Time is on my
side. That's fine. You don't.
I got fine, Rolling Stones going through my head now.
Yeah.
Time is on my side.
we were just interviewed by our good friend Kevin on Where the Weird Ones Are podcast.
Shout out to Kevin, right?
We'll send that guy to his show.
All right, exactly.
We'll say, hey, listen to this.
Hey, it's Where the Weird Ones Are, right?
It's going to be a short show.
Yeah.
Gonna sit there, shake the magic eight ball.
So what do you think about Ghost? His name is. Yeah,
he won't spend two hours with him. He'll spend 2 seconds with him.
You believe in Bigfoot? Ask again later.
Right.
Well, okay. Oh, that's a funny story, Nate. That is good.
Mm-hmm.
And how old is this guy? I picture 65 or something. I don't
I think
know.
He's mid-30s, maybe.
Oh,
would not have guessed that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's
Like I said, I've never met him. They're just stories through the grapevine.
But, sure.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to bully the guy, but. Yeah, good. Good for him.
Like I said, to each his own.
That is.
I'm a little jealous of his belt buckle, though. I think I could totally go that way.
Okay, I'll be honest. I'm actually jealous that he uses a magic eight ball to make decisions because I struggle every day to. Do I want to go into work? No, actually, that's no. But then I force myself. So
that's right.
Oh, that's funny, Nate. Sean.
Yes.
Do you have a COSO?
We do have a COSO.
Oh, we haven't had one in a while.
That's excellent. Right. I know. This is fantastic. This is for Emily, the fine art medium. She did our new merch design, which we actually had come out today.
Did it not turn out awesome?
Oh, my gosh. It's fantastic.
I mean, really. It's the coolest thing I've ever
caricatures
seen.
Caricatures of the three of us,
and
right?
And, yeah. I mean, she's... Yeah, Emily. So we found her through our good friend Kevin from mm-hmm. Where the Weird Ones Are.
Right.
Another shout out to Kevin's awesome show. It could not have turned out any better. She's great. Easy to work with. Her prices are great and the talent's there, but she's just a sweetheart and she's just very easy to work with.
Thank you, truly. That's really cool. She put our favorite little, creatures in the background. Like
so
mine
I told
Dracula.
Her, I told her, I said, okay. I said, and we, you know, like I said, I had to, you know, we went back and forth with things. I'm like, you know, maybe try this or try, you know, or change this. And she, again, she's like, whips it. She's like, yeah, how's this? Or a day later, if that, you know. I told her at first, I said, I'd like a ghost behind me. I said, I'm more into the ghost. I said, Nate is a Bigfoot guy. I said, and Sean loves Dracula vampires, you know. And so I was going to have the Bigfoot in the doorway was always there. I was going to have a ghost, though, behind me. and a vampire behind you. But she ended up, she's like, it looks like too much, mm-hmm. and it doesn't really going to fit well. Mm-hmm. So she put the ghost behind me, but she put the vampire on a t-shirt. I don't know if I showed you. Uh-uh. And I go, that's cool. But I really want, I want it to be the creature out, not on a shirt, right? She's mm-hmm. like, I said, how about putting it in the doorway? And she was like, that's a lot to put in the door. You know, I'm like, well, maybe just put the ghost on one side, keep the Bigfoot on the other, and maybe hang the vampire upside down. And man, when she drew that sucker, I'm like, she nailed it. Like, mm-hmm. perfect. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what? Yeah. And so she's so good. Yeah, she. Mm-hmm. They look like us. I mean, they, you know, handsome devils. You know?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
She is so good. So give Emily the Fine Art Medium. That's her, account name or whatever. Uh-huh. She's on Instagram. If you have any design work, graphic design work, she has her own podcast and she's a medium. Give her a contact. You know, tell her that Middle Age Creeped Out Center.
That's right.
Center sent you same. To her. Yeah, something like that. She's a P. Wonderful lady, though. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Got to work out all that grammar, right?
That's, yeah.
Iron that out.
So shout out COSO to Emily.
That's right.
Fine Art Medium.
Thank yes. you.
Now, Sean.
Yes.
You're not done yet.
I'm not done.
No, what are we going to
so
talk?
Many jobs. So little time, right? Especially in a mini.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about?
This is your pick, so I'm going to give credit where credit is due. This is the Orpheum Theater in Phoenix, Arizona.
I did come across this when I was looking up Haunted Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And this came about. I never heard of it. And I thought, and so I delved into it, and I liked what I read.
It's
so,
world-renowned, and I
yes,
never
it
heard
is,
of
and
it
it's
either.
Old. It's very, and it's very historical. So right. yeah, a little foundation, please.
This is from Only in Your State, and it is by Katie Lawrence. But this is the Haunted Theater in Arizona. Both history buffs and ghost hunters will love. It says all of the haunted places in Arizona. There's something truly special about the Orpheum Theater. Its old world opulence stands in stark contrast to the typical image of a haunted location, and its storied past is absolutely riveting. You might see a ghost there, but you'll also have an unforgettable time admiring the architecture and learning all about the theater's history. Located in Phoenix's historic Copper Square, the Orpheum Theater is one of the oldest buildings in the city, dating back to 1929. Stock market crash, baby, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Sorry to bring that down, but...
Oh, yeah. Yep. Black Monday. So it is very, yeah, very historical. They do Broadway musicals, plays, classical concerts. And what was interesting, it says the theater also occasionally hosts TV shows like The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. So interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But of course it has, a paranormal side. So we'll get into that here.
And it's part of a Orpheum circuit. So there's multiple theaters throughout the country.
Right, right. Yeah, the Orpheum Circuit. Yeah, and it was founded in 1886 by vaudeville impressionist Gustav Walter in San Francisco. So, yeah. Got a great history.
If I could change my name, that's what it would be.
Gustav. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and our tech engineer is Gustav Laux.
That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
You know what? Just go ahead and do that.
Tech engineer.
Oh, great. Now I got to change the logo. Now we got to put it. Okay, we got to do everything over now.
Well, let's just shorten that to Goose. How about we?
You know what? That's your new nickname, the Goose.
The Goose.
And our tech engineer is the Goose.
Honk. Yeah. I don't know. What is the Goose?
You know, in vaudeville, going back to the Orpheum, a lot of big names from vaudeville, but that was kind of like the show of all shows. You know, you got all kinds of talent, you know, different types of acts, I guess, within the show. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool that this place had vaudeville, you know, going back out to the 20s, early 30s.
Well, it's interesting. It did fall into disrepair in the 80s, and it said the city of Phoenix was able to breathe new life into it. After undergoing a lengthy and extensive restoration, this incredible piece of living history reopened in 1997. Despite undergoing renovations, the theater still retains much of its original beauty. It is fantastic.
It is pretty, yeah.
Inside and out, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the main or big headliners, to mention a few, during its heyday, were Harry Houdini.
Never heard of him.
Gypsy Rose Lee.
Mm, yeah.
And Bojangles Robinson.
Bojangles.
You know what? Never mind. We're going to call him Bojangles. And Bojangles. Your tech engineer is the goose. Gustav
Bojangles.
I like it a lot, actually.
Harry Houdini, you say.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Love Harry Houdini.
Elusive.
Yeah.
He comes in. Like, he's come in and out of a lot of our discussions, I'll be honest. It's like he's poofed in and out, right?
It's kind of like Al Capone. Al Capone somehow, in at least 80% of the stories we talk about, is
Winston
Al Capone somehow.
Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln. Those
Al Capone
guys are,
and now Harry Houdini. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they're all here in
and
spirit.
And now Bojangles. Oh, no.
They're all here in spirit. You like what I did there?
Yeah, I do. Now, setback, the seating was 1,364.
Right. And then beautiful hand-painted murals and balcony seating, grand
stage.
Did you see in
any of the research, did you see, like, if it's been expanded? Like, when they had to remodel it or renovate it? Yeah, here I go. Can't talk. Renovate it. Is it still, like, 1,300-ish seating? Or, okay.
I believe so, yeah.
They didn't add. Okay, because I never saw it. They added, made it bigger, you know, like the attendance. Wise, so yeah, but 1,300, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of big enough. I mean, obviously, it's not 10,000 or 20,000, but it's kind of like if we were performing in front of 1,300 people, that's pretty cool. But like intimate, and I hate that word, but I don't know what else to use. But yeah, big enough to you feel like you're actually you got at least an audience of
it
some
makes
kind.
It makes me think of the Mirah, you know, from here in Indianapolis. Yeah,
we saw Jerry Seinfeld. In the Mirage.
Did you really?
I used to work right across the street at the Firefighters Credit Union. Yeah, we saw that, and they've got different size rooms. Mm-hmm. But that's true though. It kind of felt, and we sat in the balcony.
Yeah,
that was cool. Yeah. So this place,
you didn't heckle him, did you?
I did.
Did you really?
I said, Jerry, what? No. So let's get to the fun stuff.
Yes.
That's just kind of a quick little history. You know, kind of what it's about. Ghosts of the Orpheum Theater. Now, it says, the Orpheum Theater is home to at least four ghosts, though the owners believe that more may be hiding out in the theater. The operators are always digging into the characters of the theater's past to better uncover who these ghosts were when they were alive. Some of the spirits have a known connection to the theater, while others are unknown. I'm going to read the first one. The best-known ghost is Maddie. Now, Maddie is a young girl about 12 years old. She usually hangs out on the mezzanine. I love that word, by the way, mezzanine. Though she may appear in other parts of the theater room, according to friends of the Orpheum, Maddie keeps watch over the patrons, excuse me, and is generally quite friendly, though she acts as a mischievous steward for the theater. Why wouldn't a 12-year-old little girl act that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
She once smacked a young gentleman in the back of the head for making out with his lover on the balcony while no one was around. She's also known to tap patrons on the shoulder or shush them when they get too loud. Maddie's biggest appearance was during a Chinese dance show. So, and it said five of the acrobats stopped dancing mid-performance and began to scream while pointing at the balcony, then fell back into formation and continued the performance. So you got little 12-year-old Maddie smacking people upside the head, Nate. What do you think about that? Don't you and Rachel be making out at the Orpheum Theater?
They deserve it.
They deserve it. Like, get a room, you know?
That was my favorite story, too, talking about how they just look like, oh, my gosh, where's she going? What's she doing? You know, she just walked straight out and then disappeared. And it is. And then they went back to performing. It's like, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the latest ghosts to be found was February of 2019. A woman wearing a period dress and a netting over her head briefly appeared to one of the employees in full apparition. She seemed so real that the employee spoke to her as if she were an actual person. It was only a few moments after the encounter that he realized that the woman was a ghost. The operators of the theater have been researching to uncover who this woman was and may have actually found a photo of the woman in the theater's archives.
I like it. What year was that?
2019.
Pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, this place is cool. By the way, Sean, did I put on the list?
Heck yeah.
Right. Now, my wife and I went to, for our honeymoon, we flew into Phoenix and stayed there at a real nice hotel and had a honeymoon suite and all that. But then from there, we went to, you know, saw the Red Rocks and Grand Canyon and, you know, if I would have known about this place, you know, like, daggone it, you know, we could have gone to the Orpheum Theater.
Oh, right.
So that means we just got to go back. Because we do want to, we said, now that the kids are older, we want to take them to the Grand Canyon mm-hmm. and see the Red Rock.
Go you know, out west, right? Yeah.
I'm putting this on the list, yeah. Well, say, oh, I had no idea there's an Opium Theater. Mm-hmm. Let's go see a show.
What do you yeah. mean it's haunted? That's fantastic.
I listen to your episode. Yeah. See, I have no worry about them listening to
yeah.
the episode.
Oh, of course, yeah. yeah. We'll jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, right. But no, I'm going to check this place out.
It says the staff, well, we talked about it, there being four main ghosts. The staff of the Orpheum Theater claim that there have been more than four ghosts, as many have yet to reveal themselves. The employees and staff cherish their ghostly residents and have pledged to make them feel at home. They don't reveal too much to keep them comfortable and are wary of amateur paranormal investigators who try to catch a glimpse of or detect their presence. They're, the guy that was kind of the... or you know the main keeper of the place, and he was the historian, and he was talking about that too. That they the ghosts don't really seem to have any kind of you know malintent or anything like that, and so they just kind of let them go about their business, and then they let them do their thing. So it's kind of a, they're cohabitating in this place, and I think that's pretty cool that they want to keep that history alive, respect that they're there, and. They don't, this one particular guy said he hasn't had any experience in this theater, but has been in some of these other ones that are in the chain of him, and he has had experiences. So he said it's more of probably a matter of time before he has an experience here too. But he said there's so many experiences that people have had that he knows, you know, it's his belief that it is haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're saying there's, spirits that roam the balcony at night, the bad energy in the men's bathroom. And a prankster poltergeist that once caused a ruckus at the concession stand.
a ruckus at the concession. And I've done that. Well, that's a normal game for me.
And this also says, did you know it briefly functioned as a chicken yard?
I did not know that.
A chicken yard?
And it also hosted the first Flagstaff Mountain Film Festival. In 2003, features Arizona's largest mural called The Sound of Flight on the eastern wall.
Uh-huh.
Spirits mostly frequent the balcony and the men's bathroom. And an urban legend persists about a man hanging himself on the roof.
Oh. But we don't know much about the man.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Those were just bullet points.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Is it weird talking about that chicken coop or whatever the chicken thing? It makes me think of foghorn, leghorn.
I say, now, boy,
I tell you, son.
He's like, now, pay attention to me. Or right? Pay attention to me. I'm talking to you. I do better. I'm not in good voice right now.
Great memories, right?
Oh, yeah. I have a little story here. It says the Orpheum Theater is a stunning landmark, which we've already, you know, talked about. Beautifully restored to its 20s gilded.
Now gilded is gilded a good
glory.
Word.
Gilded glory. Mm-hmm. But not everything inside is so pretty and bright. In fact, many say that the place is haunted by ghosts. Okay, we've mentioned that, right? Well, this one, Joe Etrides is the guide on the tour, which gives an hour-long glimpse into the building and its haunted history. The first step is the second-story office of the original owner, Harry Nace. He died mysteriously from two gunshots. Now, he's said to haunt this very room. Joe is quoted saying, some people have heard male voices call out to them and talk to them, even call out their name, which is probably the creepiest thing you can get. I would agree.
I found some more information on the man that hung himself.
Okay.
Near the projection room at the top of the balcony, there is a crawl space with a ladder leading to the marquee. It's here... That is said that the man once hung himself, though there is no news sources to verify the claim. Still, some insist that the suicidal man was among the spirits that haunt the Orpheum Theater to this day. There's also been accounts of, after closing time, past employees recount that the toilets began flushing on their own and the sinks running at full blast.
That's fantastic.
strong presence in the men's bathroom.
I bet there was.
Have even heard disembodied footsteps, while others have reported sensations of mild electric shocks as they move through the bathroom.
Okay. All right.
The smell of poo-poo.
There's a reported ghost of an older woman, most commonly seen dressed in white.
Oh, boy.
Unlike the dark specter, she only appears standing by the railings briefly before she vanishes. So, yeah.
Okay.
According to a late-night janitor, a dark, shadowy figure glides eerily through the aisles.
Nice.
That'd freak me out.
Yeah, it would be. So we have a lady in white.
A lady in white.
What do you know?
Shock me, shock me.
Let me guess. This is built on an Indian burial ground.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting.
No, don't tell me.
I got to tell you a little bit about this. That this goes further into, you know, let's talk about the Phoenix ghosts and all that kind of stuff and how haunted it is. And but there's all kind of, we should probably delve more. And just like a lot of these other places, we should delve more into some of the Arizona's haunted history. It said Arizona has a long and fascinating history from sacred Native American holy sites and burial grounds to the Mexican Revolution. A lot has happened there, and the ghosts of the past live on. There's all kind of history of the Copper States that is haunted in nature. The Superstition Mountains are home to a spooky abandoned gold mine. Haunted Congress Hotel in Tucson are some of the most haunted hotels in the country. And a fire in the basement led to the arrest of the outlaw Don Dillinger. I just tried to switch that around. John Dillinger.
Don Dillinger? Or Don, I thought you were say Don Johnson. Wait a minute.
Not quite. John Dillinger, who is famous in Indiana, right?
Yeah, right.
Arizona, quite haunted, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you guys have anything else? I do have one story to end it. If you
go for it.
Well, so we've talked about a few human stories. Geez. Well, yeah, stories, but spirits. It says it is not just humans haunting this theater. A resident cat.
Yes.
From the 1920s still lingers too. It says in the early 2000s, people were reporting that they would hear a cat moving around, purring, and that sort of thing above their heads. And it's where no cat really has a place to stand, said the tour guide. It says, if the ghost seems shy on your Halloween tour, wait for the haunting pipe organ. I gurgle. It just may summon the spirits and at the very least send chills down your spine. So now we got a haunted cat. So lady in white, haunted cat. Hey, it has everything, Nate. It has everything.
Now I've got the Haunted Mansion like song playing in my head from Disney.
Not a cat person, but I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Suffering succotash is everything.
You say suffering succotash?
Succotash is succotash. What I
was like, did you call me a psychotash?
I slur my words sometimes, you know.
Suffering succotash.
No alcohol involved, but watch out.
I love this place, though.
I do, too.
Yeah.
It seems beautiful, ornate. Yep.
No.
Regal.
Regal. Yeah. Beautiful, ornate, regal. Are you describing me?
I am. Exactly right. Yeah. Just going off of what you gave me.
Yeah.
Okay. adjectives to describe Todd.
Yeah.
Feel free to
interject
these at any point is what this is.
Decrepit, wretched.
On the script.
Not regal.
On the script, not script.
Right. Middle-aged, creep out, yeah. only thing left is have our man Nate help us out here.
Are those cats or femme chickens?
Oh.
That's a rat.
I like what he did there.
I do. Look at his face. He's
proud of himself.
What was the description I used? Peacocking. I had a hard time saying that, but he's peacocking over there again. He's getting a little cocky, full of himself.
He's allowed to.
Boastful.
You know.
I know.
Got to start on the right foot this new year.
When you got it,
old
you got
goose
it, right?
Over there.
Old goose. What was the other name?
Gustav.
Bojangles.
Bojangles. Gustav Bojangles.
Oh, thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle Age Mini number 133 and our spooky and historical discussion on the Orpheum Theater in Phoenix, Arizona. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Gustav Bojangles signing off. See ya.